Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler, Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
All right, listen up. Tonight, 8 p.m., you're going to start a riot.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling with your host, Tim Stein.
Do I make you horny?
Mace.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Omega.
Not a lot.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
And unfortunately, my neck does look like a vagina.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, everybody. This is Biff Naked.
Don't stop listening or I will find you.
Begin the unnecessarily slow-moving dipping mechanism.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Politically incorrect.
And damn proud of it.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. After a one-week hiatus, we have decided to go back to the road to WrestleMania, and then we hit a damned roadblock, so apparently we need to talk about that. So, we are back to discuss this special event that is not really that special, but we're going to discuss it.
You mean we took a left turn last week?
I told you.
Left turns! Continue with your intro. Since you want to kill me.
Oh, well.
I could.
When don't I?
Exactly. I could bring up a subject, whether it's real guys or fake persona. No, you'll just hang up on that one.
Pretty much.
Brother. go on.
I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, despite your little sidetrack conversation with Rock there, we are back on the road to WrestleMania. We're just waiting for the tow truck to actually get us rolling.
Mm-hmm. And, as always, at the head of the table, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network after a one-week hiatus. And all I have to say, Mace, Omega, Ryan Reynolds was born to play Deadpool.
Yeah.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, that was just my way of telling you I saw the movie. Owen is not watching the damn movie, at least not with me and not with my knowledge.
Yeah. That ain't, no, that's...
yeah, no. Right up.
You like it. Did good, you like it?
Good movie. Hate to admit it.
Now the question is, and this will go to both of you now, and even Rock if he's been to see it in the cinema.
He hasn't seen it.
Did you keep count of how many people walked out in the first 15, 20 minutes?
It's so late into its run, nobody walked out.
Okay, fair enough, because I went to watch it yet again last week, and even so, I still watched a family of four walk out within the first 15 minutes.
This is not a kid's movie. How do people not realize rated R means...
Because it's a Marvel movie, and all the Marvel movies are for kids, right?
My God, reading on IMDb, some woman was all upset. And, right-wing conservative. My 17-year-old son, should I ground him and blah, blah, blah because he went and saw this movie? And I'm like, What? He's 17. Isn't restricted like 17 and over, first off. Secondly, you wonder why there are problems, like people voting for Donald Trump in the States anyway.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I've had a long day. That's not a topic to get into around right now.
Yeah, just a sidetrack. Yeah, look, at this point in time, if you're taking kids to see Deadpool, you obviously are one of the most uneducated morons on the planet.
Well, you know, in the defense...
The movie's been out long enough, and just about everybody on the planet has said this is not a kid's movie.
In defense of these morons, it's a Marvel Pictures presentation. The same people that brought you The Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America 1 and 2.
Well, technically...
We have attention to what's going on around us when we've seen these movies, and they're okay. Can you feel the facetiousness?
It is the perception that, yes, every superhero movie is inherently made to be kid-friendly. Even The Punisher was brought down to a PG-13.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that one. Although, the new one's not supposed to be PG-13, is it?
There is no new Punisher. He's in Daredevil Season 2, and Daredevil is decidedly not PG.
No, thank you, Netflix. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, you know, one of these days we're just going to have to sit around and do, we could probably do 3 hours on movies or whatever. But one of these times we should just pick a night and just freewheel the other geek thing that we got going down.
Yeah, but that implies that Omega has spare time, which we all know he doesn't.
Well, you know, effective time management is always a good thing, right, Omega?
Oh, yeah.
Just find some time to read that book I sent you about it.
You did? Don't lie. You don't send things out.
Stop picking on the poor boy, Tim.
I'm sorry. Thanks for getting it, Mace. Omega rehashing the old joke and Mace actually getting what I was going for. Yeah, you know, one of these days we'll talk about
it. No, I'm just saving you from Omega ripping your balls out through your throat, but, you know.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, yeah, you know, one of these times we'll talk about geek shit. But tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about wrestling. Guys, don't expect a 3-hour show because there's not a lot of shit happening. So we're just going to open things up.
we're only on the road to WrestleMania. Not a fuck thing's happening right now.
Well, seriously, there's not a lot of shit. But Roadblock happened last night. Some people thought it was an absolutely useless gesture. And other people thought, well, hey, you know, it's a house show. And they're doing house shows like crazy, which is part of the road to WrestleMania. Why not televise the one they're doing in Toronto? Sure. Okay. Let's do that and see what happens. That's all it was. It's a televised house show. But bringing up Roadblock, why don't we aim our bring back win and fail for Roadblock last night? Do you guys have one? A win?
2.5 hours. So we have a win. Hmm. And I'm actually trying to think back now. It's such a card. So really, it's just a televised house show because Brock's there.
That they spent a few weeks hyping on, like, Raw and SmackDown and everything to try and give it some sort of storyline semblance.
Yeah, we tried to act like, oh, hey, it's a pay-per-view or something. Like, it's a mini pay-per-view, and then we get the house show stage, and...
It's a WWE Network exclusive event.
All right, well, you want to win from it. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I was very surprised with the quality of a few of the matches.
Uh-huh.
The NXT tag title match was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real, sort of like, it was just one of these things that shows how good NXT is when it comes to different styles of wrestling and the psychology involved in a match and everything else. You know, Sami Zayn versus Stardust, not a bad match.
It was funny you mentioned that. I just showed the female today some NXT.
What did she think?
She is a Bailey mark.
What a surprise.
How many people are not marks for Bailey?
Well, I showed her TakeOver Brooklyn a few months back, and she was really into Bailey and Sasha Banks' match then.
Okay.
So I showed her when Finn and Bailey did each other's entrances, which she thought was hysterical, and then showed her against Nia Jax because she remembers wrestling back when there was storytelling and like actual, you know, wrestling. Mm-hmm. On a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she hasn't touched WWE in years, and now she kind of wants to go watch NXT.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. NXT is a good product. And, you know, promote it when you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Full Sail is how many hours drive from your place?
I had to look it up. See, NXT is starting to go around. They were just touring around Florida for a while, and I think they actually did. I want to say they ran house shows in one of the little arenas here. I have to go back and actually see if they still run anything in Florida, or they're kind of going a little bit more national now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as if you end up at a taping, you sit front row with your TJ Omega logo shirt on so we can spot you.
And just hold up a sign that says TJ Omega with an arrow pointing straight down. Hold that straight over your head.
No. Guys, if I'm going to bring a sign, it's going to be for us, you know? I'm going to bring a sign that's just loudly, proudly, WTR sucks.
That's
just for you.
That's just totally rude of you.
No. The one that you got to do, you got to take one that says hashtag blame Rob.
Oh, perfect. That was not...
Oh, jeez.
Okay, that was not bad. I admit it. Hashtag blame Rob. That's such an insider joke.
Unless you listen to other shows on this network.
There you go.
But yes, as for my win is that there was some actually very good and very decent wrestling on tonight. Well, last night.
Yeah.
On a Saturday. What the hell?
There you go. I'm not going to disagree with you. Omega, did you pick a win? Did you figure one out? Did you find one?
One of the ones that I was thinking of was the NXT tag match.
Mm-hmm.
Which I shouldn't be surprised. It's NXT. Oh.
Yeah, the NXT tag match was quite good.
And I will also give them enough credit. They gave the Divas 14 minutes in a match. That was impressive.
Yeah, Natty and Charlotte for the Divas title.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad the Divas title was on the line at the house show, though.
Well, it's a house show.
Yep.
Like, at the most, I thought maybe the NXT belts changed hands just to make it seem like this was an actual big deal event. Nah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the other one I would point out would have been the New Day opening the show. An actual box of Bootios, which immediately after was on sale on WWE Shop.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's my fail, is the introduction of the Bootios, because I had a look at the price on WWE Shop being $34.99 plus shipping. I'm like,
yeah, for a t-shirt that comes in a box.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's like, I'm quite happy
wow.
to pay, you know, $5 just for the box, but the whole thing, like $35. And you gotta realize, you gotta buy two of the shirts, because the back of the box has a cutout unicorn mask.
Yeah.
So you gotta buy one that you can get the mask out of, and then you gotta buy another box that you keep as a collector's item.
But the Booty O segment was hysterical. You got Big E as the kid going, well, if you don't eat your Booty-O's, what happens? And he goes on riffing for the entirety of the League of Nations, and then three times over, and then Xavier goes, and what else? dude, that's it. We cut that part. We couldn't think of anything for Rusev. Move on. Next bit.
Yeah, no, it was quite humorous, and it just pisses me off that New Day's continuing to get over. I know that sounds like probably a contradiction.
How dare they be popular? How dare someone show personality in WWE?
It's how dare Tim start to like something that he came out originally and said he hated.
I did.
How dare Tim be won over by their antics and start liking the New Day like the rest of us?
I don't want to be like you guys. God damn it.
No,
I didn't mean that in a bad way. You know, I know it probably came out in a, like, how can you be pissed off that something's working? No, I don't mean that in a bad way. Mace, I think you kind of sort of found the page I was stumbling across.
Tim is not a conformist.
Hell no. not a what's the best way of putting that? I'm a reluctant one. How about that?
A reluctant one.
He didn't want to like the New Day, but he's liking the New Day and it kills him inside. TJ and I laugh.
But inside, every time they come out and do something that I mark out for, how's that?
Close enough.
Okay. So those are your wins. My win, and you guys can roll your eyes all you want. I don't really give a damn. But my win is the main event from last night. That was one hell of a match, and props to Triple H for selling the shit out of the beating that he got from Dean Ambrose. And yeah, you knew that Dean wasn't going to win the title or any of that crap. Holy shit, great false finish towards the end, though, where you did get a three count, but the ref called it off because Dean's feet were under the ropes. And, you know, the announcers are selling it like, look, Dean can win. Dean can beat Triple H. And it's just giving me that hope that they're actually elevating Ambrose. Because let's face it, he's everybody's favorite current badass. It was just a very entertaining match. And it's hard for me to stay entertained when Triple H is involved in a match. I'm sorry, but, his entertainment value for me has, it dropped through the floor several years ago. Last night, absolutely fantastic. And it left me wanting more, a longer match, because it was so much fun. That's my win for last night for, Roadblock.
To his credit, Triple H does keep in really damn good shape. And the guy never seems to build any ring rust. He takes off for months, years at a time, and then when he gets back in the ring, it's like he was never gone. Mm-hmm. Like, I would give him credit for staying in that kind of condition and staying, you know, in a good enough shape, skill wise as well as physically.
Yep. making sure that there's no ring rust, and making sure that he can actually run with the younger talent on the roster. Yeah. So. But I have to give honorable mention to that Divas match last night, too. I'm not going to hum and haw or anything like that about it. Yeah, Natty was in the match. Charlotte is good. Last night, what I saw, Natty made Charlotte look great. It was Natty versus Charlotte that first put Charlotte on the map, and Natty just helped the elevator last night, in my opinion. So, that's got to have honorable mention from me.
If I would give honorable mention, it was a moment from Chris Jericho during that event.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in fuck Canada mode.
Every time he's in heel mode when he comes to Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's bring out an American to have to counteract this. But he had a moment where he's walking the aisle and he grabs a sign and rips it in half.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch what the sign was?
No, I missed it.
Get well, Brett.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, geez, Jericho, one of these days you're actually going to make it out of Canada without getting killed.
Like, there's heat, there's nuclear heat, and holy shit, you're going to hell.
And, yeah, ripping up the get well, Brett. That worked in Toronto. No way in hell, I'll guarantee you, Jericho would never think about doing that in Calgary.
I don't
Probably
even think,
think about it even, and decide no, against it.
I don't even think he really even noticed what he was doing. Like, he did it so quickly that I'm sure he saw a random sign and thought, oh yeah, that looks like them praising somebody. Rip. And I'm sure when he get backstage and he sees a replay, he'd be like, oh shit. Security, can you surround me on my way to the car, please?
Yeah, well, you know, at the same time, you can almost guaranteed that he would have spotted that sign when he first came out. I mean,
he could have easily had that in his head the whole time.
Yeah, good speculating. Like I say, yeah, you can do that in Toronto and get away with it and get your 2 degrees above nuclear heat. But if the house show was at the Saddle Dome here in Calgary, I just picture he'd look at the sign, think about it, and then reconsider because of where he is.
No, it's Jericho. He'd do it and then run.
Well,
because there'd be about 4,000 people jumping over the railing to chase him up the ramp.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we're talking Calgary, where the average fan's a little bit brighter than a 40-watt light bulb. For the most part. I mean, there are some real winners that go to the events. You get that everywhere you go, I suppose. But, yeah. You guys have a fail?
Mine is the Brock and Wyatt's match that end up being really Lesnar versus Harper.
Uh-huh.
Like, we come into this going, oh yeah, it's going to be Brock versus Bray. This is going to be pretty cool. Okay, now it's a handicap match. Bray's on the outside the entire match. This match is over in under 5 minutes. Well, that felt like a waste of time.
But at the same time,
At the end of that match, I felt underwhelmed. Like, I was expecting more from both men, actually. Because Harper's a good worker, and Lesnar is a good worker. And I expected something more than, okay, we're just going to give him a few suplexes, take a bit of a beating, F5, bye-bye.
Well, yeah, no, I can see your point. It's all hyped up, and you figure that, you know, like the handicap match would have been actually awesome to see. But no Bray and Brock in the ring at the same time scoring off against each other. At the same time, I don't, you know, I see where you're coming from with the fail, but at the same time, I don't know because, you tease that and there's your next big program, Bray versus Brock. When will they finally collide? Right? You can make that the genesis. If that's what they're doing, great. If not, they fucked up.
Well, except we have Ambrose and Lesnar at Mania.
Well, yeah, but Ambrose and Lesnar is just that, you know, that's the Mania match.
Yeah, they said, according to, it's one of the dirt sheet rumors that this was done specifically because they want Bray and Brock to go at it one-on-one down the line.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that happens by SummerSlam, they get the entire spring to set it up to make sure they do it right. And sometimes they get it right. So maybe we should make a note, and if this never comes to pass, then then that means I wind up being in 100% agreement with you on your fail. How's that sound?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all good. I was just playing. Yeah, you know my fail for last night? Toronto, Ontario, Canada, CM Punk chance.
Can we get over it by now?
At some point in time, I mean, Christ, you would think that's okay. It's dead. It's gone. People let it go. No, they can't let it go. What the hell? So, you know, that's my fail, Omega.
I'm just really damn tired of all of this hero praise for someone who completely abandoned the business and told everyone to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you hold any loyalty to someone who stabbed you in the back? Idiots.
Well, yeah.
I will admit, hilarious when Vince said, "Is that all you got?" at the chant, and then they started chanting CM Punk right at him. Like, wow, you're going right after Vince. I kind of dig this.
Like, Vince egging the crowd on. And again, it's Toronto, Canada. You know better than to do shit like that.
Yeah, but Vince playing into those chants on Raw last week. Did you notice the second he said, "I'll wait here all night. I don't care." They suddenly just went dead silent. The best way to kill those chants is to acknowledge them and go, "Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
I'll wait here till you stop."
Yeah, get it out of your system, kids.
You figure that out. Like, I can still remember when, I can still remember one of the few times I was actually impressed by the Ryback was when he piped up and acknowledged the Goldberg chants in mid promo. And the crowd immediately went from Goldberg to Feed Me More without prompt because it just completely flipped the switch on him.
And if you are able to flip the switch when you're in the ring, and the crowd is doing their thing, you can get them to flip the switch, you've done something incredible. It's not that easy to do.
Yeah. To be fair, like Ryback in general, it's like the best troll in the WWE right now.
Uh huh.
They were in Chicago, and he's doing CM Punk running knees in the corner.
Yep.
And then to top it off, he does the go to sleep pose.
Mm-hmm.
Like you. Fucking bastard. Stop making me like you.
Problem is, the thing about it is, he was trolling the crowd. How much of that crowd was oblivious to the fact that he was?
I don't think they ever caught it with the running knees, but there had to be some in there that knew what that go to sleep pose was.
Well, at some point in time when you see the go to sleep, you got to think, oh, shit, okay, I get it. Like that meme on Twitter, oh, I see what you did there.
So. That meme on Twitter.
What's so not funny about that?
No, don't worry about it. You're amusing me.
Oh, I'm talking like an old guy trying to be hip, hey?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
That meme.
The meme on the Twitter?
The meme on the Twitter. On the Twitter machine.
The meme?
No, I was right. Meme. M-E-M-E. Second D is silent. which makes the first E long. That's what I learned in language arts. They still call it language arts, don't they?
We were thrilled with Roadblock, as you can tell.
Roadblock had some highlights, you know, some good stuff, bad stuff. Like I said, I love the main event. I gave honorable mention to the Divas match. You guys loved the NXT tag match. That was a good match.
Triple H and Dean was absolutely brilliant, and it goes to show that when Triple H wants to work with somebody, he'll make them look like $1 million.
Now, there, you just said something I want to let's talk about that for a quick sec or two. We know that if Triple H doesn't like you, he's able to bury you in the ring in a match, and we've seen him no sell. Last night, what did he effectively do for Dean Ambrose in that match?
Sold like a motherfucker.
Well, yeah, but what does that effectively do for Ambrose is my question.
It makes him look better in the eyes of the fans. Like, the storytelling and everything in that match was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and I expect no less out of Triple H, because that's the way he was trained by Killer Kowalski.
Yep.
Okay. But to have him put on a match as good as this, where, like, most people are sitting there going, you know what, this is quite possibly a match of the year contender. On a house show, a glorified house show, goes to show that Dean Ambrose needs to get more than what he's getting mainstream storyline-wise.
Now, let me further that question. Feel free to chip in anytime you want on this one, Omega, too. Did Triple H come across looking like he was a step behind and showing his age? Or did Ambrose come out looking like he was ready to run with the big dogs, meaning work the main events?
For me, it kind of seemed like Ambrose was stepping up rather than Tripp stepping down.
Okay.
Like that felt like Ambrose going up a level. I will agree that, like, really good match. I liked the false finish. I mean, it gives him a little bit of credibility. Hey, got Triple H down for three, just put in the wrong place.
You get the feeling, you know, he can beat the game. He can do it.
Yep. I don't even mind the finish of that match where he just, you know, accidentally charged straight into the pedigree, because at least it was a quick pedigree spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy move to hit quickly.
You know, and the thing about the finish of that match, we've bitched and complained about it before, and the bitching and complaining that we've done has been justified and not centered on one or two different wrestlers. But wrestler A is kicking the shit out of wrestler B. Wrestler B pulls one move and wrestler A's out for the count after a 12-minute long match. That wasn't the sense of how the pinfall went last night. I mean, Dean goes flying into the announce table, missing Triple H, getting out of the way just, you know, basically just in time. And, you know, hey, Dean fucked himself up. Then he gets into the ring and boom. That, you know, that I didn't have a problem at all with the way Triple H won that match, because, you know, it said to me, okay, well, sure, Dean had the upper hand for most of the match. One little mistake messed him up enough to get that quick pedigree in the 1-2-3.
Well, but, you know, they call Triple H the Cerebral Assassin. They do that for a reason.
Yep.
The guy is always thinking four moves ahead. You know, he rolled off the table, Dean goes crashing through it. Triple H is standing close enough to the edge of the ropes, where he's watching Dean, it's like, okay, is he going to make it? If not, I've got to be in a position to capitalize.
Yep.
Dean dives like fucking Superman into the ring at the 9 count, straight into a waiting Triple H, who goes, hi, here's a pedigree, and 1-2-3. You know, that's a chess move. That's all that is. It's just playing chess.
Strategy.
Now,
let's be fair. My chess club in middle school did not let me drive someone's head into the floor. Like, that I wish they did.
I did that once.
Make the average game of chess a lot more enjoyable.
but the one thing I would do that I had issue with was the sequence before that led into all that, was when Dean had quote unquote won the title and they said, oh, your foot was on, like, under the rope or on the rope or whatever it was. It was under the rope, now that I remember. And that rule is rarely upheld.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so rarely that this is the first time I've probably seen it done in a decade.
They do. Where the guy
who is pinning has his feet under the ropes. They rarely call that out.
They did that recently. They did that recently in the Divas division where someone pinned Charlotte with their foot under the ropes, and Charlotte accused them of cheating, as if having your foot under the rope actually was an advantage of some kind.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a cage match?
Who knows? But the thing that got me was, like, okay, straight after pulling Dean Ambrose up on that rule, Triple H rolls him up, both feet clearly on top of the second rope, right in front of the referee, and the referee didn't call shit.
Yeah,
that annoyed me. That annoyed me because it's like, hold on. You're somehow able to see Dean Ambrose's feet under the rope from your position up near the person's shoulders, where I know, I've reffed. You wouldn't have been able to see where his feet were, so obviously you were just going off the plan.
Yeah.
Then you have Triple H doing a roll-up with his feet clearly on the ropes, clearly right in front of your face, and you don't call it. What the hell?
All I can say for something like that is you've really got to blame the ref for positioning.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, Mace, you've reffed. At times it's kind of difficult to make sure you're in the right spot to miss the thing you're supposed to miss or see the thing you're supposed to see.
Yeah, but it's like he had this amazingly perfect vision where he could see the feet from where the guys had their shoulders when he was looking directly at their shoulders, where even your peripheral vision wouldn't be able to tell what had happened, yet you have a blatant foot on the ropes thing right in front of you where you're practically looking at the guy's feet and you still don't call that.
One of these days, the WWE is going to have to show us the referee locker room where it's, you know, all of them getting ready for the night. And there's just this big, in the table with a big pile of, like, Coke bottle thick glasses just piled up.
That would kind of be funny. That's almost something that you would have expected to see when the era of GTV.
God. This is one of those times where you just have to pretend like the seeing eye test for the WWE goes, all right, take a look at that wall. Do you see the chart? Yep. All right, you passed. Get on there.
Is there a chart on the wall? I think so. Next.
What wall? You're good.
There you go. Yeah.
So you're here for the eye exam. What eye exam? I can't see a thing. Great, you passed. You're now head referee.
Congratulations, Mr. Wonder.
Yeah, there you go. Guys, we've been talking 41 minutes. We normally take our first timeout 30 minutes into the webcast. Why don't we take our break now?
Everybody.
Hey?
You rebel.
I know. I'll tell you what. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, post on your Facebook timeline. Tweet it out to your buddies. Tell everybody to come and join us in the chat room. You never know how long or short this webcast is going to go. So, you know, welcome if you got them. We'll be back right after this. Hit my grass, hit my call, hit me your ear, see my fall, see my error, know my faults, time halt, see my loss, know I'm lacking, backtracking, where I met you, pistol packing, get your finger, trigger happy, try to trap me, be a rap, why you tap me, backstab me, break the fake, pull from grace, tell me lies, time flies, close your eyes.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me.
Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes.
Dude, the Godfather scream for time. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live... midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
on the Wild Talk Radio Network, affiliated, of course, as always, with PW Mania for all your news and views. Check them out, www.dwmania.com, where, by the way, you can read my latest column. I wrote an article and posted it on PW Mania last week.
Sound the bells?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. So, yeah, where were we?
You brought the show back, and we've covered throat blocks, so, I don't know, great debate, and go home.
We talked about Roblox, but we also did a quick little pick'em for Roblox too. Did you participate? Yes, you did.
Okay.
And just stall for me while I look up the results here.
Stall.
Okay. Stall. Do something. Talk. Sing a song. Do a dance. Tell a
Make
joke.
Your love get down tonight.
Oh God, you totally missed it. It was a reference from Star Trek: First Contact. I can't believe you missed that. I was just waiting for it to load up here. Here we go. We had a lot of people who tied, and they actually got them all right.
How amazing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people went 4-0. Oh, yeah, I know there were like 2 extra matches, but we didn't know what those matches were until the show actually started. But, Tommy C, me, Rock, Omega, Chase, Mace all went 4-0. We got our predictions perfect. And then tied for 7th place, we had Sheila. Look at that. Frosty, Aaron Frost, Rob, Starscream, Josh, Nick D, Linz, Chris P. And then in 14th place was Brent. He went, 2-2. Subway and Derek B tied the Magic 8 Ball with 1-3. And that's the results of Pick'em.
Yeah, this is what happens when we don't do a show 1 week, especially before there's an event or something. We sort of miss the Pick'em.
Yeah, so.
It's almost like it didn't work.
So there you go. Our next major pick'em will be, of course, naturally for WrestleMania. And, guys, we've got a prize to give away. Yeah. The winner gets a copy of John Cena's book. Hmm. So nice. There's incentive to play pick'em. And you can thank our producer guy, Mr. Sir Rockin, for securing that little goodie to give away.
You can thank the good folks at DK Publishing for the copy of the book.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes, and we decided you can win in North America, whether you're in Canada or the United States, I guess even Mexico. And if you're international and you want to win the book, you have to pay for the shipping because we can't do the shipping cost.
Yeah, especially when I'm $12,000 in debt. I'm not mailing things overseas.
We're not talking about you paying it, Tim. Not you.
Shush!
But no, if you're international and you want to enter this in the pick'em contest to win the book, you have to pay for the shipping. That's the deal we announced on Thursday.
So, there you go. You can win if you live in Australia, Mace. But it'll cost you
$30. Not if I pay, no, if I got to pay shipping.
Yeah, you got to pay $30 to win.
Yeah, no.
It's the price you pay. Just saying.
AKA, all those people international, unless you've got money, don't bother entering.
You can do it for bragging rights. But if you want the book, that's
No,
you get
bragging
it.
Rights has already gone by. That's a different show.
Oh, bragging rights. You do realize that was like very reminiscent of one of my bad jokes, right?
Yeah, it popped into my head.
Well, you know, I'll let you get away with it this time. You're rusty. We take a week off. How's that sound?
I spent all day in the sun. I blame heat stroke.
There you go. Did you guys get a chance to read the column that I wrote on PW Mania?
Don't believe I did.
Oh, that's too bad. Mace, did you read it?
That was a column.
So I'm assuming the answer there as well as no. The topic of the column that I wrote was how they can put the belt on Roman Reigns and make it work. And I think I came up with an idea. Now, for the last several months, there have been rumors that Dean Ambrose is turning heel after WrestleMania. And are we in agreement that we think that's not the greatest of ideas?
That would be a hideous idea.
Right. And there's talk about Roman Reigns is actually going to win the title at WrestleMania. Are we in agreement that that idea sucks?
I don't think there have been talks about that. I think that has been lit in the sky with gigantic neon signs.
Just mutual agreement all around. Right. I came up with a way to make it work, and I'd love to have your take on it. Instead of turning Dean Ambrose heel, which is colossally stupid in my opinion, you keep him the babyface, he winds up, and the match he had against Triple H last night at Roadblock goes a long way towards making this workable and feasible. He becomes the top babyface, and he chases the title. And it's a well-known fact in professional wrestling, the more over you are, the less you need a title, the better you are chasing the title, right? So he's chasing the title, and the fans are behind him like crazy. Yeah, eventually he gets the belt. But in the meantime, Roman Reigns wins the belt at WrestleMania 32. The crowd is all split like they usually are, about 70-30 against Roman Reigns being pushed to the heavens. He beats Triple H. Afterwards, he snaps, beats him down. The next night on Raw, he comes out. You know he's going to get booed like crazy, because that's the thing to do, because he's not ready to be the face of the company. Right there, he, you know, give him a mic and let him cut the promo. He came out and he decided to win this, and he'd like to thank the fans. And the fans give themselves a little cheer, whatever, which is probably what might happen. He reiterates he would like to thank the fans, but he can't. There's your heel turn right there. He apps about he decided to do this for himself because no matter what happened, nobody was behind him, blah, 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 blah. No, he does not join the authority. He doesn't join any kind of organization. He's the title holder, and he's the bad guy. Dean comes out, says, hey, brother, how about giving me the shot? They go back and forth, and there is your program for the next several months until Seth Rollins comes back. Because Seth Rollins had to give up the belt. He didn't lose it. He's got to stake a claim. And you know he's going to get a big pop when he comes back. So make Roman Reigns the heel. And it's my purview that you can make it work with him holding the belt if he's the bad guy. What do you think?
I think you just booked Rocky Maivia into The Rock is what you did.
Well, there's nothing new in wrestling. But, yeah, that's essentially where the idea came from. Sort of.
I mean, that's the classic path. I mean, you go super babyface with Rocky Maivia and nobody buys into it. And instead of today where it's like, well, we just got to put him over more. We, you know, now it's got to be like Triple H, the ultimate villain for the last like 3 years. It has to be the one to like that he has to overcome now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we got to put the odds even more against him so it looks even bigger and better when he finally wins and all this.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the concept of insanity is trying the exact same things and expecting different results.
I'm glad you said that because I actually wrote that in the column.
Well, fuck.
Yeah, that must leave a bad taste in your mouth now, eh?
But you don't. Yeah, if you're going to get negative heat with him anyway, you might as well use it for what it's naturally good for. Make him a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
If they want to, if the fans want to boo him, let them boo him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at least then you're not letting the fans dictate what's going on. You know, right now you're putting on a televised audience. You know, you're showing a televised audience where Roman Reigns is your top hero, and he's getting booed out of the building every night.
Nobody wants to accept him.
That doesn't put on, that does not make your company look good. That doesn't make your product look good.
Yeah. Now,
so here's our number one product. Fuck you.
Yeah. Now,
isn't it great?
You brought up Triple H. Like, let's put him up against the biggest bad guy in the company over the last 3 years. When Triple H came out and beat down Roman Reigns and, you know, air quotes, broke his nose with the blood pack handed to him by Byron Saxton, the crowd responded positively to Triple H to the point he accidentally, I swear, it had to have been unconscious. He fed the crowd, Triple H fed into the crowd to the point where he gave the good old DX crotch chop. It didn't work.
It's just amazing to me. Just like, I'm convinced at this point, like we joke about refs being blind. I'm convinced bookers are deaf.
Mm-hmm. Stubborn and obtuse is what I would call them.
Because they went from writing stories to marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to tell a story. They want someone who looks good on a poster.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, I'm sorry, not best for business.
Yeah. So even though it's essentially a rehash of the Rocky Maivia story, could you buy into my proposal here?
I would buy into it. Suffice to say, I would be more interested in a heel Roman Reigns at this point.
Okay. Mace, we haven't heard from you yet.
As much as I want to agree, I don't, because there's one other thing that you've missed in all this, is the fact that we're getting sick of a heel champion.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Seth Rollins for so long. We've had Brock Lesnar before that. We've got Triple H now.
I wanted Roman Reigns as a heel. I didn't say I wanted him as champion.
He's got you there.
That's true, but at the same time, let's face it, the belt's going on Roman Reigns, so you got to take that into account as well.
Yeah. Fucking foregone conclusions.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's a good idea to turn him heel and use the reactions he's got against him. But the problem is, the second you do that, the crowd's going to flip on him yet again. They're gonna fuck with this. They want to fuck with Roman Reigns, no matter what. If he's a heel, face, tweener, he could dress up in fucking Big Bird's costume for all we care, and they find something to fucking do to fuck with him.
What would they do if he came out as a heel? Cheer him against Dean Ambrose?
No, they'd ignore him. You would get dead silence, and you get people cheering for Dean. One of the worst things you can have as a heel is no reaction when you're trying to antagonize the crowd.
And the crowds
would be clever enough to work out that, hey, if we don't say a goddamn thing when Roman Reigns trying to antagonize us, he looks like a moron.
Yeah, the only problem with that thinking is I've been waiting for crowds to do that with several different storylines and wrestlers in the past, and they never have. Well, unless your name is Diesel.
the idea of a heel Roman Reigns is a good one.
Yeah.
If you do it straight after he wins the title, then what was the point of the last year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was the point of him being the guy who's standing up to Triple H if all of a sudden he's turning around and becoming Triple H Jr.?
Yeah.
You know, I did it for myself. And then it's almost like he's repeating Seth Rollins' run.
Well, you know, at the same time, Seth Rollins had the authority to back him up. The major difference here is it's exceedingly likely we're going to get Shane McMahon in charge of Raw. And if they...
So instead of Roman Reigns being the one who challenges the evil authority, he's now the bad guy that is disputing the good authority now. So essentially we're playing the same storyline, just flip the roles.
You're flipping the... it's a flip of the script. And sometimes you have to flip the script.
Cool! Click. I'm not watching. We're getting to the end of that storyline. Why do you want to start it straight back up again, but with the roles reversed?
Well, no.
That makes no sense.
The whole point is not Roman Reigns as a heel champion. It's Dean Ambrose chasing it as the champion of the company. Now, that whole scenario, that's all laid out in my column, which is located, everybody, on pwmania.com. Go check it out in the columns section. You can't miss it. Trust me. But it's all laid out. One scenario. And the whole thing is predicated on the fact that we've got Roman Reigns wearing the belt, whether we like it or not. How is it the most palatable? And this is just one idea, and that's all it is. And it's not a case of anybody has to agree with me, disagree with me all you want. That's fine. I don't care. If it stimulates discussion, then it's done its job. That's all.
Look, it's all well and good. You're trying to find a solution for something that is basically the Kobayashi Maru.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah.
You're trying to find a solution for the unwinnable battle, because let's face it. At this point, no matter what happens, the whole Roman Reigns idea has been it's a wash. It's dead on arrival. It's fucked. No matter what you say.
Yeah.
You know, Roman Reigns as a character is a 110% write-off. And unfortunately, the way that the roster is right now, the way that the company is right now, they have no other choice, because they've put off this this plan that they've had from Roman Reigns for nearly two full years. And if you change the flip the script at WrestleMania by adding in Ambrose into it, turning it into a triple threat and having Ambrose win the belt, then we've got to try and, then we've got another 12 months where they're trying to find a way to get Roman Reigns back to the belt. And that's not entertaining. That's just, that they need to just fucking suck it up, put the belt on Reigns, go with whatever plans that they've had since the beginning, let it play out. And once that starts to get done, hopefully somewhere around the summer or WrestleMania next year, then we start looking at the other options. We spend a year building up other people to try and take that belt off Roman Reigns, whether it be Dean Ambrose, whether it be Seth Rollins, you know, returning Seth Rollins or returning John Cena or anybody in the main event scene. To spend time building those people up, just let do what they did to CM Punk when he had the belt. Okay? Punk had the belt. He never main evented Raw. He was never a part of any major storylines. He was just there as a champion to put, and he put the belt on the line every now and again at the top of the first hour. That's what you do with Roman Reigns while you're trying to build up, rebuild your entire fucking roster. That's what needs to happen in that company right now. Mm-hmm. Just play through your plans with Roman Reigns. They're going to fucking fail anyway. So spend this time, instead of trying to find a way to make Roman work, build the rest of your roster. Build all those other guys that have been sitting off the sidelines for the past 12 months while you've been trying to fix this one problem. And then once you've got somebody that's really working, switch the belt off onto them and then let the things ride. You know, and then, you know, either take Roman off TV for a while or, you know, rebrand him, give him music, gimmick, everything that's got nothing to do with the Shield, and then try rebuilding him again maybe in 12, 24 months' time.
Okay. Do you actually see Roman holding the belt through next Christmas?
I see him holding the belt at least till SummerSlam. If they can find some way or someone that's worth putting the belt on by SummerSlam, they'll put the belt on them. If not, then it's quite possible we could see a full 12-month run out of Roman Reigns.
How would you feel about Seth Rollins getting the belt back once he returns, say, at SummerSlam?
It's not my ideal choice, but it would be more palatable.
Like at this point in time, with all of the injuries and the rumored departures and the scheduled departures and everything going on that has really basically screwed them over, who do they have as the top babyface?
No one.
Dean Ambrose. That's it. That's the closest they've got.
Pretty much. And even then, he is the crowd's favorite. And as we've noticed with past booking, crowd favorites don't tend to get what they really deserve. You know, look at how much the company rebelled against Daniel Bryan, even though the guy was getting worldwide media attention with the S chants.
Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, all the way down to Zack Ryder.
Yeah,
the crowd does not get what they want anymore. The customer is not right.
Pretty much. So in the end, just go forward with your Roman Reigns plans. They're going to fucking fail anyway. Just let it happen, and instead of trying to fix that, the unfixable, work on what can be done with the rest of the roster.
Okay. I've said it before, and it just continues to ring true. The booking right now, the writers for WWE really only know how to push one person at a time. They can't figure out how to actually make more than one guy look good consistently compared to everybody else. So one guy gets to be the big push. One guy gets to be the center point. And then everyone else they keep in neutral until they decide, okay, well, now we're going to do this. We're going to make you the center guy. We're actually going to put a spotlight on you. And then, which means you have a top card of one guy at a time. One guy plus the champion. That's your top card now. Everyone else is in neutral until they decide, we're bored of this guy. Let's try this guy. And now you've had that for so long, because it's taken them so long to pull the trigger on Roman Reigns, because the crowd still is not into Roman Reigns, you are left with nothing. Like, they've been trying so hard to make Roman Reigns their one project, and it still hasn't worked. they've got a field of absolutely nobody. There's not a person in the WWE with any credibility. You can point to Dean Ambrose as a popular face. He's got no credibility toward the world title. He wins as much as he loses. He doesn't look any more dominant or weak as anyone else on the roster right now. Everyone else is just there.
Well, in conclusion, as like May said, you're going to put the belt on him, do your thing, and rebuild some credibility. How's that for a final statement? Brought it up in the middle of talking about Roman Reigns as your WWE champion. Shane has the opportunity to actually take control of Raw. Everybody's expecting it to happen. The only problem is he's got to face The Undertaker and beat him in order for this to happen. Do you guys see a stereotypical ages-old swerve possibly happening during this match at WrestleMania?
There's got to be something, some sort of run-in or swerve or something, because there is no way anybody is going to believe that Shane McMahon can beat The Undertaker straight up one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes somebody of extraordinary strength and power, especially at WrestleMania, to beat The Undertaker, which is why the only guy to do it is Brock fucking Lesnar.
Okay. I have two separate scenarios, two possibilities, and we've seen both of these ad infinitum over the decades in WWE. Once again, there's nothing new under the sun, right? What's old is new again. Things get rehashed. Things get rebooted all the time. One possible scenario. Who's to say that right now, behind the scenes, storyline-wise, Vince and Shane have something cooking? And during the match at WrestleMania 32, Vince shows up with a bunch of wrestlers who are going to wind up. The whole idea is to sell the thought that they're going to enter the cage and beat down Shane to make sure that he doesn't beat Undertaker. But instead of that, all of these wrestlers beat down Undertaker so Shane can get the pinfall. And it turns out that Vince and Shane are on the same side against Stephanie and Triple H. And this whole thing is a setup till then, to that end. How's that?
Click. I'm not watching.
Like I said, we've seen stuff like this before, right?
Okay. I really want to see a change in status quo after Mania. I want to see the authority put on the shelf. I don't want the evil corporate powers in charge of everything anymore.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to go back to the Attitude Era of McMahon's versus McMahon's.
Okay.
If you're going to do that, it can't be any kind of feud where you go, well, you can't make the storyline about Triple H and Steph trying to get back into power, trying to regain everything that they have lost. It has to be complete, absolute, permanent. And even at that point, of course, Triple H and Stephanie are still going to be around. I don't want them to be against Shane. I've said it before on the show. I would, if Shane gets control of Raw, I would rather him have an advocate. I would rather him have a general manager or a commissioner, whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can have someone else calling the shots on Raw who isn't just going to, okay, well, congratulations, Dean. You just earned a 3-on-1 handicap match because I'm going to be a dick today.
Uh-huh. You're kind of tired of all those setups myself.
I'm fucking tired. I'm tired of fucking heels running everything and everything. I'm tired of seeing my heroes lose.
There
you go. It goes right back to why I'm sick of heel champions in the WWE. Heroes are supposed to win. Heroes are supposed to overcome. If they can't beat the villain, they're not a hero.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other rumor is that there's going to be a new brand split, SmackDown versus Raw, right?
Ugh.
You've heard that rumor?
Yeah.
The whole concept, Shane controls Raw, Stephanie controls SmackDown.
Oh, because we haven't seen Steph control SmackDown before.
it's not McMahon versus McMahon in the traditional sense where, you know, we see all of that stuff going like that happened during the Attitude Era, but it's Shane versus Stephanie in the form of which show is better. Now, doing this just might make SmackDown a lot more palatable for some people who.
So basically we've gone back to, Stephanie or Paul Heyman versus Eric Bischoff during the, what'd they call it?
Ruthless Aggression?
That's the one.
Yep. Toothless Aggression.
Oh no, you can't mention anything. You can't mention any of that.
Well, I just did, so screw it. So, yeah, but, you know, that's one thinking. Here's another scenario for you. And whether Vince is involved in it or not. Right in the middle of the match, the Wyatt family shows up to beat down Undertaker.
Again, with the new ideas.
Mm-hmm. Again, there's not much new, right? It's hard to come up with something absolutely brand spanking new that hasn't...
You're missing the rest of Rock's idea on that one, where the Wyatts basically hold Shane McMahon to ransom. Mm-hmm. And they sort of become like a new corporate ministry, and it ends with Vince McMahon being revealed as the evil power going, "It was me, Cena! It was me all along!"
Ah, son of a bitch.
Who's clicking now?
Every single one of those ideas has me reaching for the fucking off button on my TV.
So.
I'm sorry, I want to see the authority gone, I want McMahon's gone, I don't want it, you know. The closest thing that seemed plausible is what Omega said. Shane gets control of Raw. He leaves it to an advocate, say like Daniel Bryan or somebody. And you have the good guys win for once.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of these other scenarios basically means that we're getting the return of some... We're getting a continuation, almost, of the evil corporate entity. Which we've had for like nearly... 10 years on television, and I'm sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to see that on the show anymore. I don't want to see everything focusing on the heels all the time. I want to see the faces get the win. You know, once upon a time, WrestleMania was that point where you would walk away. It was like reading the end of a really good story, where the guy who's been chasing the title for 12 months gets the title, and it's a great, glorious thing, and, you know, evil has been vanquished during the show and everything, and now it just doesn't feel, it just feels like that we're just going to go straight back to the same old status quo the next night on Raw.
But the guy who, you know, has been chasing the title for 12 months is going to get that moment at WrestleMania.
And they finally do that, and it's the one time. We don't want it to happen, because we don't want him to hold the belt.
It's not the guy everybody wants. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, that's because it's not the hero that we've been following for 90-odd pages in this
book. Yeah. It's not the hero we want or deserve, really.
But it is the hero you've been following. It's just not the one you want.
There you go.
Exactly. This is like watching King Arthur trying to slay a dragon, and we're cheering for the squire that carries his swords.
Depends on who the squire is.
God.
Bob. The squire's name is Bob.
Squire Bob.
Stan.
There you go.
Yeah. Keeping with WrestleMania talk really quick before we take our next break, guys. WrestleMania weekend is absolutely jam-packed full of wrestling stuff. You've got Access, you've got the Hall of Fame. NXT is doing something that weekend leading into the actual big show on Sunday itself, WrestleMania. Are they doing just enough with wrestling and wrestling-related entertainment, or is it just another case of overload?
It's gone from taking WrestleMania to being just a solo event itself to being like a weekend carnival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the Hall of Fame, you've got NXT, you've got the interactive exhibition that they roll around with. There's other special events as well going on too. It's become a true weekend destination event.
Like a World of Wheels type thing, or a Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's become much more than just the event itself. It's become a true weekend convention style event. Okay. Which is not bad. I wouldn't call it overload because, you know, it's interactive. It's a whole heap of different things. You know, just like going to a convention, you can go see panels, you can go meet your favorite stars. You can just walk around and buy stuff if you want. There's exhibits there that you can just go and have a look at all. Look at all the pretty production art and all that stuff. And you know, the only difference is instead of, you know, having parties or something, they've got wrestling events.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon it's a great improvement on weekend being the be-all and end-all of this company. You know, it's gone, as I've said multiple times already, it's gone from being just one night of wrestling to being a weekend extravaganza of all these different things that lets people get up close and personal with the items, the people, the experiences. You know, they've got the thing where you can do your own custom entrance. You can dive off the top rope into a foam pit like you're trying to emulate Daniel Bryan before he got injured. You know, it gives the people a lot more, a bit better connection with wrestling as a whole and the people that they see on TV every week. And that's not a bad, it's not overload. Like, if this thing was a full week, mm-hmm. Yeah, go on Monday to Sunday. You know, we've got the Hall of Fame, we've got this, that, we've got seven different wrestling events going on, we've got this exhibit rolling around all the time.
Then that would
be overkill.
Yeah.
For a weekend thing, Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday, it's perfect.
Well, you have to include Monday, the Monday Night Raw following, because they usually have Raw in the same arena the next night, don't they?
The close building nearby.
Yeah.
It actually starts Thursday through Monday. And technically, you count Tuesday in the neighboring city. So it is a full week. It is WrestleMania week. But I clearly see Tim missed completely the point of conversation I was making earlier when I proposed it to him. I wasn't talking about, like, the access and stuff. I was just saying we have... For WrestleMania weekend, we get the best of entertainment and wrestling with NXT and WrestleMania. That was my point. And then Tim spun it into whatever he spun it into.
I spun it into a major event thing.
You did. You did.
Well, okay, looking at it just from an event standpoint, okay, you've got Hall of Fame, which is a big thank you night. You've got NXT, and you've got WrestleMania. That's three straight events. That's fine. But then you also got things, you know, you got Ring of Honor and all the other indie places that are trying to do something around the same area at the same time.
To capitalize
again, it is literally one of the biggest wrestling conventions in the world.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It gives people a chance to experience all sorts of stuff. So I don't see how that can ever be seen as overkill.
No, it should never be seen as overkill. But again, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Omega, would you like to chime in?
I can't have an opinion. Okay.
Yes, opinion. Wait, no, we got to go break. Sorry, Omega.
All
right, make your opinion first, then we'll go to break.
Yep. WrestleMania was always about, you know, of course, the big event, the biggest event in the business, but the business has grown a lot since then, and there's really only so many hours you can tack on to one wrestling show. So, like, I give credit to WWE to find other ways of expanding WrestleMania, what it is and what it can be, both, you know, as a viewing experience and for, you know, fans who are going to all these shows and, you know, access Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw after, you know, it's going to be an amazing weekend. But, you know, as a package deal, I think it's expanded in exactly the right way. Everything seems like, yeah, this is kind of like a big deal now. This is kind of like WrestleMania is just bigger than the event now, which it very well is and should be, and that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, I have a hard time playing devil's advocate, being against something that I'm not against to begin with. So, that being said, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rose Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a couple of more things to take care of before we call it a night. We'll be back right after this.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Raw Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, everybody, we are live on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. If you can't stick around your computer while we do this little webcast of ours, then download the TuneIn app, search Wild Talk Radio Network, and, yeah, you can listen to us wherever the hell you may be. And I said it last time. If you find yourself out with friends listening to, and you decide to listen to us, you need new friends.
Oy vey.
Jewish friend. So yeah, download the TuneIn app, get it on your tablet or mobile. It's 100% free, and bookmark the Wild Talk Radio Network. There you go.
Just for that comment, Tim, I go.
Canada stinks, and Toronto is the anus.
I agree with half of that. Toronto is the anus. I agree with that. I've been there. He's half right.
Only half right.
Only half right.
Well, that, you know, that's because.
Hey, no, and that smell is wafting up from Ohio. Anyway.
Because, you know, Jericho also said.
Typical Canadians, always a little step behind the rest of the world.
Yeah, he's just getting heel heat in his native country. What's your point?
I thought
great heel promo in Canada by Jericho last night.
I thought he was telling facts, that's all.
Well, that just proves how stupid you are. Anyway.
I disagree on that one.
I disagree
with you, Tim.
Whatever. So, guys, Wade Barrett has given us notice and he's leaving
WWE. Reports have come out that another WWE superstar yet to be named has given his notice.
But who is it? Who is it? Do you know, Tim? Do you have the inside sources? Do you know who this person is?
That's the question. I'm trying to figure it out. Titus is leaving when his contract's up, but it's not Titus. The only clue I have, and Mace Omega, maybe this you guys can help out with this clue. Some people are going to be glad that he's not coming back.
Oh, that's so many people.
Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Can we all hope and pray it's the Ryback?
I don't see.
If the Ryback quits, he can't make fun of CM Punk anymore.
But no, Ryback can quit WWE and head to UFC and then join CM Punk.
Yeah, go kick him for real.
Let's face it, they're the best of friends.
They're the two best friends anyone could have?
No. I'll admit, the first name that popped into my head when I read that was Randy Orton, and it stayed in there for a grand total of maybe 1.5 seconds.
The voices were in your head for that one?
Yep.
Oh, God. I'm sitting here looking at pretty much the social outcasts, Fandango, Zack Ryder, Mojo Rawley, Tyler Breeze, basically Dolph Ziggler.
Won't be Ziggler.
No. Ziggler, no.
No, he just signed a multi-year deal.
And he has to support his comedy career somehow.
What a Curtis Axel.
Don't think anyone would care.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's people you want to see just because, like, that's a very ambiguous statement. Because, like, I would love to see Fandango go. But then again, who the fuck cares about Fandango?
Yeah. So it's got to be somebody with enough of a name.
That people don't like.
Big Show?
And you're not allowed for wishful thinking.
He just gave an interview where he's said he's perfectly happy with where he is right now in the company.
Like, yeah,
I
was about to bring up the Austin podcast where he says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm happy. I'm comfortable. You guys can chant please retire all you want. I'm not leaving yet.
I don't know, but we'll see who it is. It can't be Del Rio. Maybe Sheamus? It'd be surprising if it was Sheamus.
That would be a bit of a surprise to see him go, but I wouldn't, Sheamus leaving? Okay, well, don't let the door hit you.
Michael Cole.
That's a good one.
You know, I hate to admit it. I hate to put it this way, but ever since Jerry Lawler's heart attack, I haven't hated Cole as much.
Seeing how he responded to it, you can't.
Yeah.
But I will admit, the guy's announcing still grates on me because he's just a puppet saying whatever gets driven through his ears.
You know, as far as announcing goes, I'd love to see Mauro Ranallo take over.
He's actually exciting to listen to on SmackDown, and he knows his shit.
Yeah, and again, back in the mid-90s when Stampede Wrestling was on A-Channel here in Calgary and airing in the province of Alberta, I was subjected to Mauro Ranallo's play calling. Match calling every week because that's basically where he got his start, more or less. And so I'm used to it. And I'm still kind of amazed when I hear that people are absolutely shockingly surprised and pleased with his ability to make the show more entertaining with his play calling. With his match call.
See, between that and Lawler going heel announcer again, SmackDown's really got the lion's share of good announcing going on. Meanwhile, JBL is still referencing shit from the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of relevance would be good. What if it's JBL who's not coming back?
That could be it too.
Well, the guy's a self-made millionaire with his investments and stuff like that. He doesn't need the job, so.
No, he does not.
But yeah, I'm tired of his outdated references. I mean, like, let's face it, if I'm calling him outdated...
I mean, really, Jesus if someone...
Christ.
That's saying something. That is saying something.
Thanks, I think.
You're welcome.
Smartass.
I that's what I'm here for.
Uh-huh.
I'm here to be the antagonist.
I got a different word for you, but I won't say it in public.
Or jackass. Whatever you want to call it.
Well, yeah, that's another word for you.
Anyway, moving on, Tim.
Yeah, so I have absolutely no idea who this person might be.
I guess we'll probably find out in the next couple of months. But, yeah, moving on from there. Mick Foley's supposed to have something going on for WrestleMania. What the hell could it be?
A cheap pop, a plug for something, and then he walks away.
Walking out during Shane's match with The Undertaker with a microphone, just chanting, do it, do it, do it.
Pretty much, yeah, that's the consensus.
Coming out randomly when the Dudley boys are grabbing their table, lighting it on fire, and jumping through it, then going back to the back. For no reason at all.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
he's supposed to have some sort of role at WrestleMania. What it is, we'll find out. Maybe he'll mention it tomorrow night on Raw if he's on the show. Rumor has it he might be. So, we'll see. Tomorrow's Raw is going to be loaded. All the big stars are going to be on Monday Night Raw.
So, tune in to find out. Yeah, there it is. I think right now, maybe we should just do our great debate, or I'm sorry, the all-time greatest.
I mean, you changed the name, and I get it wrong. Jesus.
Yeah, well, I blame Mace, because earlier tonight he called it great debate, and that stuck in my head.
Oh, that stuck in your head. Right, right. I see how it is. All right, so let's do it. Oh, wait, wrong intro. That's the great debate one.
Welcome to this week's great debate.
Hey, wrong intro.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
As we're continuing on our all-time greatest conversation, where did we leave off? I don't remember. It's been a while since we did this.
2 weeks.
I've got... We should be doing Austin passes out WrestleMania verse 13 versus The Undertaker retires Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 26.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, that's the one we're at. Okay, the file did not upload. Good. All right. So, yeah, Steve Austin passes out versus The Undertaker retires Shawn Michaels. Omega, you go first.
Fuck.
That's the consensus, yeah.
God, those are just...
Two iconic WrestleMania moments.
Monumental moments. Jesus Christ.
Talk them out. Talk it out. Start with the
okay.
First one.
So you got Austin passing out.
Which made his career.
Made his entire career, which made the Attitude Era, which made the WWE rise to the top again.
Yeah.
That led to a hell of a lot, not to mention it's a badass moment.
That they've tried too hard to repeat a few times, but never worked.
Mm-hmm. But then you have the end of the career of one of the best performers in the industry's history.
Some would say the all-time greatest in-ring performer. Some would say. All depends.
And that was a career we thought was over after the back injury he in the first place.
Yeah, back in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Against Steve Austin.
So the beginning of a career or the end of one?
I mean, you could break it down to the point of who you've interviewed, and you can lean one sort of way, and, you know, if that helps you decide things. I don't know.
A little bit bias.
You know.
Talk to one of them.
Talk to one of them, you know. And that being, you know. Shawn Michaels.
I hate to say it, even though he gave Austin his first title, but Shawn, because of that injury, did not play or factor into the Attitude Era, which is the biggest. That's the biggest this industry has ever been, or at the very least, when it was at its height in just cool.
From an in-ring standpoint, he did not play a factor. He was part of it, though.
He came back, a little commissioner here, a little, guess what, I'm still siding with my buddy, even though he kicked me out of my own group.
They did that a couple times. Almost
did that a couple times.
That one SmackDown where, oh yeah, we're back on the same page, and then Shawn's never there again. for 7 months. Oops. But.
No. Ultimately, I would say Austin passing out just led to so much more. Without that moment to win over the crowd, without that happening, you don't have the toughest SOB in professional wrestling.
And until they became really PG, that was the only moment you would really see from WrestleMania. That and Shawn going on the zipline.
Right.
All right. So, Austin's bloody face won. Mace.
Yeah, I'm looking over both moments and just
going from a moment standpoint, I've got to give it to Taker retiring Michaels, because that image of, you know, Tombstone couldn't put down Michaels, Switch In Music couldn't put down Taker. Michaels is laying on the mat. Taker goes to do the cutthroat to signal, I'm going to end this guy. Stops and just goes, you know what? He's not even worth it. Looks down at Michaels. Michaels is crawling up the Undertaker. Looks him dead in the eyes. And Michaels does the cutthroat on himself. And the look on Taker's face of, motherfucker, you just didn't steal my taunt. And Michaels going, come on, bring it. Fucking do it. Just absolutely amazing moment to watch. Austin bleeding, screaming. He doesn't want to give up and he passes out and everything. It's an iconic image that has been replayed through WrestleMania history. You know, it's when they do those highlight packages, that scene is always present. You know, anytime you highlight Austin, that scene is always present. It's an amazing image. Both images are. But just for the raw emotion behind it, I've got to give it to Taker and Michaels, because that just absolutely amazing.
All right, Tim.
Oh, I'm the tiebreaker.
Break the tie.
Well, yeah, you know, Austin passing out, that was one of the main catalysts for WWE eventually overtaking and burying WCW. I say catalyst. It was one of them, right? It was one of many different things. Sure, it helped launch Austin as the badass of the company and all this other stuff, which led to Austin versus McMahon and all this, you know, everything, and then wind up getting his title win off of Shawn Michaels and all this other stuff. It was just one of many different things that happened. It was a perfect storm. Everything came together at the same general time. It was a combination of things. It was one cog in the entire wheel. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, that was an entire wheel full of cogs in and of itself. Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, getting retired at WrestleMania by the icon, by the guy that never loses at WrestleMania, the holder of the streak. That was end of an era, part one, literally, essentially.
Yeah, it was.
That was a bigger moment, because after all, we are looking for the all-time greatest moment.
Yeah.
Not the all-time greatest beginning to a thing. The all-time greatest moment, it's Shawn Michaels getting retired by Undertaker.
Compelling point. So Undertaker retiring HBK moves on. It's icon versus icon. Hulk Hogan versus The Rock taking on, as Tim just mentioned, someone had a streak. Brock conquers the streak.
Oh, shit.
Mace.
This is a worse matchup than the last one.
I plead the fifth?
No.
Warrior.
No.
Warrior!
You already
Warrior!
You already eliminated the Warriors. Sorry. No. 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 Man up. Make the decision.
This is like having both of my favorite dogs in front of me and saying, kill one. No!
Do it.
Yeah, what this is the Joker holding tryouts, but he's only got one opening, so make it quick.
All right, Mr. Arbuckle. One bullet, Garfield or Odie?
Shit. That's normal. Just cool.
Normal.
Normal, yeah. No, yeah, please, get rid of Normal.
Abu fucking Dhabi with you. Bang.
Cheery little fucking kitten. Fuck that thing.
He's from my hometown. Like, Garfield's Inc. is from, like, my childhood hometown. It's weird.
I can't choose.
You have to.
Oh, good God. Brock beating Taker was, like, shock. It was the biggest shock I've seen in many years of watching wrestling. You know, Paul Heyman selling every moment of that finish was just glorious. And to see a battered and beaten Undertaker was just something that you'd never think you'd see at WrestleMania. On the other hand, you know, Rock and Hogan, two icons of the age, getting together and
that match didn't even start until like nearly 10 minutes after the bell had rung, because all it took was those two men standing face to face in the ring, and the crowd was going ballistic. Chanting for Hogan, chanting for Rock, then switching back and forth, and, you know, Hogan went heel during it and then went face, Rock was face, then went heel, and then they both went back again, and it's one of those matches that I can still watch today and feel the same goosebumps that I felt when I watched it live. Yet at the same time, watching Brock conquer the streets still just makes my jaw drop in awe. I can't pick. I can't pick.
Is that what I thought it was?
I'm going to get shot.
Yeah, welcome to America.
Shit.
Yeah, you want to come over here, fucker. Meltdown.
Blue screen of death. Please reboot computer.
Man.
How many times are you going to cock that chamber, bitch?
Yeah, you're just racking perfectly good bullets out of the gun now. Was it a Trump rally?
Oh, only in Chicago.
Too soon?
No, right on time, actually.
Actually, they would do.
But by the way, the bad legacy of Pete Rose continues. He sent a signed baseball to Donald Trump. Anyway.
Oh, hold on. No, the best part about Pete Rose is he's going into a Hall of Fame. The National Bobblehead Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
All right, carrying on.
Waiting for Mace to give an opinion. Pick one.
Fuck, where's a coin? This is literally coming down to a coin flip, and I'm not kidding. There's a coin jar. Give me a second. Somebody else talk, I'll come back to you after the coin's been flipped.
Alrighty then.
Alright, Omega, you step up to the plate. Maybe you'll have enough guts to make a decision.
The testicular fortitude? The
testicular fortitude, yes.
Okay. You are talking about two of the greatest moments of all time. You know, you want to talk about The Rock as the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. That is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, and it's like it almost like if you watched like a Tesla cage with lightning striking through it, or like the two, like in any mad scientist movie where you've got these two balls with like arcing electricity back and forth. That's what this was. This was the only two men in the business, or two of the only men in the business, who could draw reactions like this on their own together at the same time. And that's one of those moments where just the crowd just being in disbelief at what they were seeing is enough to make it an just awe-inspiring thing. And then you have like the redemption of Hulk Hogan the fans wanted to see the first place happen afterwards. So you kind of compound that, and then you have the end of the streak. Over two decades, that was built up. Like, Undertaker was unbeatable man. Like, okay, yes, they didn't start really paying attention to it until he got up to like 13, 14 or so. But that was one of such an enormous deal. It became like, even this year, even with the streak broken, facing The Undertaker is still one of the main events. It was such an amazing thing to be able to wrestle The Undertaker at Mania. It trumped the title matches. You know, it was the matches with CM Punk, with Triple H, with Shawn Michaels that you were looking forward to more than you were the world title. So to finally see that happen, to see Brock actually do what nobody thought would ever be done. You want to talk about everything, everything has been done under the sun. This didn't happen. And it's one of those things that, again, it carried. I used to say, whoever beats the streak is going to get the biggest rub of all time. At the time, I didn't think Lesnar needed that kind of rub. But good Lord, has it paid off. Like, it did him wonders. You know, you want to talk about
He's the only other babyface we have in the company right now. And babyface only in that people cheer him, because he just goes in there and breaks shit. It is close. These are about as dead even as I could imagine any moments in WrestleMania history being. There is one caveat, just one, that no matter how amazing the reaction was, no matter how amazing Rock and Hogan was, there is still, and there will always be, something in the back of my head that cannot help but go, that should have been Austin. Hogan and Austin was the dream match. That was the match of the two top guys. Because let's be honest, Rock was amazing, but he was a very, very close second to Austin. And that has always bothered me. It's always bugged me. That as incredible as that was, it's not. It's just so close to what would have been perfect. That is the only fault I could find with either of these. Mm-hmm. To that, I will give it to the streak ending.
There's one vote. Is the coin flipped yet?
The coin has spoken in a best of five series.
Did it land on its side, or it was straight up and down on the fifth one?
No.
You ever have stuck to the ceiling?
No.
Do we have to redo the flip because it didn't flip?
No.
Okay, this is not the NFL, thank God.
Did one of the sides of the coin bump you and you missed it?
No. Hold on. 3-2. Rock versus Hogan won.
Which means...
It literally went... It was Hogan, Rock, Lesnar, Hogan, Rock, Lesnar, Hogan, Rock.
Which means we have to load up the gun one more time. And Tim, you gotta break the tie.
Why are you loading the fucking gun when you come to me?
Because you gotta break the tie.
Well, it doesn't mean I need to...
Because he's got the gun laws that says he's allowed to, okay? He likes playing with the weapon. Let him play with the weapon.
I had to dig out the sound effects. Use
Americans and their guns. Anyway. Look, it was a shock. We've all seen the black kid who bet $1,000 on Brock Lesnar beating the streak and actually winning his bet and the look of shock on his face. That's the new iconic thin shot.
Can we stop with that shot? That's, yeah.
Right?
Can we stop with Miz Girl?
Bring back Miz Girl. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, Miz Girl was cute too. But
really,
you know,
really,
seen,
really, Miz Girl was cute. Really.
Hold on. Yeah. Can you quickly retract that statement? Because Miz Girl was severely underage, Tim.
He was not speaking in that sense, but parentally.
All right. Anyway.
And I said, that was cute, not she was cute. Pay attention.
No. Anyway, your opinion.
Anyway, without any further interruptions, or I'm hanging up.
Set a promise.
Oh, you don't want to go there right now. Trust me. Rock knows what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Why?
It was a shock. It was a huge deal. Here's the streak. Paid attention to at what? Starting at what? 12-0?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Credence was starting, you know, it started to pour into it. Okay. And then it's like, well, yeah, you know, Taker will never be beaten. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody knew at some point in time the streak was going to end. Everybody figured the streak would end, and that would be Undertaker's send-off, retirement match. Cause, you know, run, rip, and roll. In wrestling, when you go out on your back. People figured that that's when he would lose. But everybody had it in the back of their head that eventually the streak was going to get broken. And whoever breaks the streak would have ultimately the biggest rub of all time, depending on who you know, wound up breaking the streak. Some people at the time didn't think Lesnar needed to. Other people at the time thought it was only logical if you want to build him up as the beast incarnate, then he has to be not afraid of anybody and run through everybody, Well, that was the scenario that got booked right then and there. Shock value, way over the top. Absolutely, I have never heard a wrestling crowd so quiet in my entire life. I mean, you know, as it was immediately following that match. Just and it was not silenced through apathy or hatred.
It was. I was like, oh my, wait, what?
Did I just see
what?
What the silence was? What the fuck did I just see?
Yeah.
And like I said, I've never, ever been to a wrestling show, seen wrestling on TV, or any wrestling event where people were so stunned there was no noise at all. They were so quiet you could hear the buzzing of the lights overhead. It was huge. Gigantic. Rock Hogan, totally different animal, completely. Hogan returning to the fold after WCW. He comes in as the heel, and he's Hollywood Hogan. And he's doing the Hollywood Hogan bullshit that he was doing right through WCW when he first did his heel turn and formed up NWO. Even so, on regular TV, Raw, SmackDown, house shows, people were still cheering for Hogan and forcing him to cut your expedient heel promo where you put down the city and the fans and you call them stupid, the cheap, you know, the cheap, quick heat pop. Fast forward to WrestleMania. That was in Toronto, was it not?
Hogan and Rock was in Toronto.
That's right. It was at, I believe, Skydome.
The original Bizarro World, as they like to call it.
And it was going back and forth. And The Rock and Hogan didn't decide, well, let's switch and I'll be heel, you can be face. It wasn't booked. Okay, halfway through the match, you become the good guy, you be the bad guy. It was halfway through the match, the fans forced the role reversal. The fans turned Hulk Hogan babyface, brought him back to Hulk Hogan from Hollywood Hogan. The emotion on Hogan's face at the conclusion of that match, where the fans were cheering their asses off for Hogan, even after the match was over. Do you remember the look on Hogan's face? The guy was brought to tears by the fans. It was breaking the fourth wall, and there was no way you were going to stop him from showing his emotions on that night. Like I said, in the back of our minds, we knew someday the streak would be put to bed, put to rest. It would get broken. We were expecting it. Even though it was so unexpected, it wasn't. The WrestleMania moment in the Hogan-Rock match is the look of pure emotion, the look of pure love on Hogan's face for his fans, for what they did for Hogan during that match at WrestleMania. And it's the feels that wins.
So Icon versus Icon is your winner?
Yep.
I'm just going to throw this out there. In a couple weeks, maybe next week or so, you're doing Undertaker retiring Shawn Michaels versus Icon and versus Icon. Be ready for that.
Fuck you.
I'm just going to just give you that head
You're
up.
An asshole. You're an asshole.
So we're not doing quick hits tonight. We're going to do a couple more of these because you missed a week and we're getting close to WrestleMania. So the Austin era begins, takes on Stone Cold, sells out to the devil, Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 17. So Tim is not put in the position to break a tie. He goes first.
Yeah, Austin era begins.
Nothing.
It was a bigger deal. What do you want?
Okay, fine. No reasoning from Tim on that one.
Mega. I've given you reasoning on two fucking choices already. That's enough for one night.
You've used your quota?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I've overdone my quota.
It's always good to exceed the quota, Tim.
Well, I've overquoted. Move on! Hurry up!
I said Omega, go.
Yeah, it's the Austin era begins. That was one of the biggest matches they had booked in years between those two. It was, and then you put in Mike Tyson, who was enormous at the time, and
that was
it was also a damn good match.
Yeah,
but like Austin's deal with the devil, it's just fucking confusing.
Like, no one took to that just because, like, what? Really? Like, now you're going back? Like, in history, it's a big moment. But looking back on it and seeing the reaction at the time, it was just, I don't think anyone bought into it.
All right, Mace.
Yeah, Austin era begins. You know, good match against Shawn Michaels, and then, well, then shit hit the fan and it got glorious.
So speaking of Shawn Michaels, his boyhood dream came home and came true at WrestleMania 12, and Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth reunite. Oh my god.
Well, shit. All right, so the zip lining in the Mentor ringside Iron Man match. Get the fuck out of my ring. I was a Shawn Michaels fan as a kid. That was an enormous thing for me.
Huge.
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 Yeah. There's a fucking got my head on a tangent here. There's a local car dealership here that runs just a epic fuck ton of ads, you know, and he's selling fucking Kias, so how excited can you be?
People can get very excited about selling their cars. Saying.
Well, that's his catchphrase. For some reason, no matter, like, this guy runs, like, a new commercial every goddamn week, and radio ads, and every time it ends off on, it's gonna be huge. Oh, God. I want to go test drive a Kia just so I can drive it into a wall with you in the passenger seat.
That would be huge.
The medical bill and the lawsuit. Huge.
That's what... Well, Hogan can't say that. Well, Hogan can, Balea can't, I should say.
Well, no, see, this is... No, I'm talking a hypothetical, fictional scenario. The lawsuit in real life wouldn't be nearly as big.
Hey, I got you to talk about it on the show. I called a win. Anyway.
If I can reference it without mentioning a penis, I'm good.
Too late, you just did.
What were we talking about again?
Shawn Michaels being a dick to Bret Hart after WrestleMania.
All right.
I got us back. Let's go.
Okay.
That counts as a penis joke.
Honestly, God, I can't believe I'm doing this, but just for raw emotion, I would give it to Savage and Elizabeth, because that was right after he lost a retirement match. You have a culmination of things going on right there in that moment. It's not just him reuniting with Elizabeth. If we're looking at the moment, as we have established that we are. That was, like, the people in the audience thought, that's the last you're going to see of Macho Man. And, like, it ends on this little... And he had been healed the whole time since he blew up on Hogan. So this was his big redemption moment. You know, and it's at what everyone kind of thought was the end of the road for him.
Right.
So it's Shawn finally winning the title after a really grueling match. But I don't think maybe not the... And it's a cool moment, but I feel like it's a little bit more. I think history has kind of elevated that moment more than what it was at the time. Because it's a championship win at WrestleMania. Essentially, it just happened. It just happened after an Iron Man match, and there was this boyhood dream story built up around it. Well, everyone who wins the title had a boyhood dream story.
It begs the question: have we undervalued the Savage Liz moment in history?
Part of me wants to say yes, because the two were such an iconic pair in wrestling, because it was, you know, it was the air quote retirement match.
Okay.
It's an extremely close one. Like this is like where I would flip a coin if I had a coin.
Okay. Coin flipper, Mace, go.
Yeah, I've got to give it to Savage and Elizabeth as well. It's one of those pure emotional moments in wrestling that sort of transcends wrestling itself. The Savage and Elizabeth on-camera love story has been probably one of the best things to ever happen at wrestling in the time. Shawn Michaels winning the title is basically the culmination of a guy working his ass off to become the head of the company, instantly ruins it by telling the guy that he's just beat, get the fuck out of my ring. all of a sudden we suddenly hear about how much of a jerk Shawn Michaels really was at the time.
Well, we
remember, this is before he found Jesus hunting out in the wild, okay?
Finally found the Jesus, he's okay.
He found the Jesus, now he's okay. But, yeah, like, when you see Shawn Michaels, you know, hugging the belt and everything, he's crying. You know, again, it's the boyhood dream has come true, and that clip has been seared into every wrestling fan's memory for, you know, 20-odd years, and it fucking hurts. But when you look back at that clip, everybody else is just happy and cheering for him and leaving the arena and everything else. With the Savage and Elizabeth reuniting, that got people in the crowd emotional. It had them crying along with Savage and Elizabeth. You know, it goes to show that those two characters mean so much more to the fans than a guy winning a belt. So, yeah, Savage and Elizabeth, take this one.
2 years in a row! That's the wrong one. Anyway, I have many clips that say HBK wins. Anyway, so...
Yeah, but then we went and flipped the script on you, so suck it!
I know, right? Anyway... Tim.
Well, having been a very young man when the whole Elizabeth Randy thing was going on for like ever, it was central to so much stuff going on in WWF at the time. You know, looking at the two of them, it's Randy Liz wins.
Okay. So there you go on that one, which means next week on this very program, Cyndi Lauper's Rockin' Wrestling takes on Bret Hart, pulls double duty, while Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant, takes on Shawn Michaels, retiring the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Fuck.
Hold up. Cyndi? I thought we dropped Cyndi Lauper and we had the DX-NWO thing go over.
I thought Cyndi Lauper won, didn't she?
I've got DX-NWO on
sheet. Yeah, I didn't vote for Lauper.
All right, then it's the DX.
I voted for Cyndi Lauper.
Okay, he voted. That's what I thought. Okay.
And then, wait, we had somebody else, two other people vote. Or was that on a different one?
No, that was on a different one, because I remember Omega voted DX-NWO, I voted DX-NWO, you voted Cyndi Lauper.
Then maybe that's it. I'll have to go back and look. Yeah, you're right. There it is. Okay. I have it. Yeah. I have to fix the graphic. That's all. So it's DX and the NWO during the Triple H stink moment. Versus Bret Hart.
Corruption! Bulldog. Manipulation! These things are fixed!
They're rigged. By God.
Warrior always loses!
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. And Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant, Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair. That's next week in the all-time greatest. But that's our show for the evening.
That's it, another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us tonight. Join us tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, for immediately following Raw.
Otherwise known as the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about the return of The Undertaker, Shane McMahon, both in the same ring together. Maybe, possibly, could it be a thing? Will Mick Foley be on the show? Who knows? We'll talk about it. 11:10 p.m. Eastern. It's Raw Post Show.
Yeah, Thursday night at... Oh, what time do you guys do it? 10 o'clock Eastern?
Yes, we're alive. 10 p.m. Eastern every Thursday night. It's the Rec. We'll recap Roadblock. We'll talk NXT. And so much more. It's the Rec. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to the Rec. Extras Total Divas Season 5, Episode 8. Episode 9 will be available probably Wednesday. So check it all out. You can follow the show on Twitter. At Rock Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rock Radio Show. Check out the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rock Radio Show. There's a bunch of new videos up there from WWE 2K16, including me playing some WrestleMania 17 matches from the Rock Radio Show arena to even the TJOmega.org arena. It exists. So check it out, YouTube.com/Rock Radio Show.
There you go.
Oh, Saturday. And hold on. And follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lindsward.
All right, there you go. Are you done? Fine.
Yeah, okay.
Midnight-ish, as close as I get to it. CB Radio.
Weird, wacky, unusual. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. When a celebrity gets arrested, hashtag blame sub. Oh, and for the rack, when a wrestler gets injured, hashtag blame Brent. But CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and CBRadioLive.com.
There we go. Yeah, of course, we're back at it next week, regular time, regular place, for another edition of W2R Sunday Night. You can follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Facebook, with facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Twitter.com/WTR Sunday Night.
There you go. Yeah. You can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter. Follow and like Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums or at the Man Kitchen TV.
Can you say me again?
Me?
Okay. That time it didn't hurt my ears.
Okay, then! You can also check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/menchefs, M-E-N-C-H-E-F-S, menchefs.
Buy his book, mankitchentv.com.
No, no. Buy the book from the Man Kitchen. Email me, admin@mankitchentv.com for details, or just, you know, tweet me or Facebook me. We'll talk about that. Eventually, you'll be able to actually, literally, physically just buy it off the website. But, yeah, follow Mace on Twitter because his name is I Love Spooky Things. No, it's not.
No, it's not. I'm quite sure there is somebody out there called I Love Spooky Things, but... if you want to follow me on Twitter, go for @TheMaceSing. Also, check out a lot of my other gaming-related nonsense over at TheOuterHaven.net. As for upcoming events and bits and pieces, I got a couple of them I just need to quickly plug. The first one being Priceless, an evening with Ted DiBiase, coming up Thursday, March 24th at Ashwood Performance Arts Centre, Van Am Drive, Ashwood, Melbourne, Victoria. Tickets are $40 for adults, $20 for children. Basically, you'll spend an evening with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, where he goes through his career, his life, lots of road stories, a bit of a Q&A, and you also get a meet and greet with him. Tickets are available at events.ticketbooth.com.au/event/priceless_Ted_DiBiase. Following that up, two nights later, on March 26th at the Whitehorse Club, 298 Burwood Highway, Burwood East, Victoria, 3151, is Everybody's Got a Price, presented by Outback Championship Wrestling, again, featuring special guest Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. Tickets for that are available at event.ticketbooth.com.au/event/OCW_Ted DiBiase. More information can be found at OCWAUS, that's Outback, OCWAUS.com. Also coming up, because, you know, the plugs don't stop, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, the movie that everybody has heard about by now because DDP promotes it every single time he opens his mouth, will be premiering here.
He just wouldn't shut up about it. We asked one question. He talked 30 minutes about the damn thing. One question. One.
Oh, that's going to be fun for me to look forward to. The Australian movie premiere is happening Sunday, the 24th of April at the Astor Theatre, 1 Chapel Street, St Kilda East. Tickets are available at ticketblaster.com.au. $30 will get you into the movie. However, if you want to spend an extra $15, go for the $45 package, which gets you in to see the movie, followed by a Q&A and meet and greet with Diamond Dallas Page himself, and also a ticket to Melbourne City Wrestling's Ballroom Brawl, which will be happening on Saturday, the 30th of April, live at the Thornbury Theatre. More information on MCW Ballroom Brawl can be found at melbournecitywrestling.com.au. And finally, if you would like to go and do yoga with the yoga master himself, DDP, Sunday, May 1st, St Kilda Town Hall, DDP Yoga Workshop, tickets also available at ticketblaster.com.au, and it also includes a Q&A, pictures, and signing with DDP himself. Or if you ask him one question, I'm quite sure he'll answer it for the next 400 hours.
Yeah, yeah, he probably will. He probably will. Now, Omega, got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
So, you have this idea for a house and you want a bouncy castle outside?
No. I want to have a house that has an in-ground pool, mm-hmm. and instead of a patio and a screen around the house, I want a bouncy castle around the pool.
Okay, okay. Well, you can get more gems like that if you follow Omega on Twitter.
Yeah, every now and then I tweet out a weird idea, but usually it's some kind of content to watch and entertain your day with. That Twitter is over at TJ Omega. Big surprise. TJ Omega is also the YouTube channel. It is also the website, tjomega.org, under major renovation right now. And then, of course, if you are the Facebook type, it is TJ Reviews. Just to keep it unpredictable.
You do, you know, you just gotta throw it out one time, you know.
I never know what field you're gonna be coming out of one night to the next.
And if you want to see what Enzo Amore looks like, go to Omega's Twitter at TJ Omega.
Yeah, I found his action figure.
It's spectacular. Anyway, wrap us up, Tim.
Yeah, another edition in the books. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Don't forget, we're going to be giving away John Cena's book for pick him for WrestleMania 32. So start to tell everybody about it because we want more and more people showing up and participating. That being said, look for my column on PW Mania. We're out. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.